Genesis chapter number 32. Genesis chapter number 32. We'll be beginning in verse 9. Are you there this evening? All right. It says in Genesis chapter 32, verse number 9, it says, "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." We'll pray, have the special music and the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day you've given us, Lord, and I thank you for this opportunity you've given us to be in church this evening, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you've allowed us to be born in this great country, Lord, but I pray, Lord, that you'd be with Pastor, Lord, as he gets ready to preach, Lord. I pray you'd be with him. I pray you'd fill him with your power, Lord. Please come down into this place, Lord. Please just be here this evening, Lord. Lord, please convict our hearts where we need convicting, Lord. I just pray you prepare our hearts now. I pray for the special music, Lord, that you'd allow that to deal with our hearts as well. Lord, I love you. And if there's somebody in this room tonight who doesn't know for sure heaven is their home, I pray you wouldn't let them leave that way today. Lord, I love you. Thank you for all that you've done. In your heavenly name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Appreciate that good singing this evening. Genesis chapter 32 in our Bibles this evening. Genesis 32. Had some wonderful insight from one of our men tonight. Wanted to share it with the other men. I'm not responsible for any actions that you take from this advice, but one of the gentlemen in the church shared with me how to tell the difference or how to tell whether your dog loves you more or your wife loves you more. You ready for this? Now, don't blame this on me now. This was one of our men. He said you stick both of them in the trunk and then you let them both out and see which one is excited to see you. Like I said, I'm not responsible for how that goes for you. Just some advice that I was given that I'm passing on to you. Now that I got half the church mad at me already, we'll get into the Bible tonight. Amen? Amen. Genesis 32. We all there this evening? All right, hope you had a good afternoon. Hope you got well fed this afternoon. Amen? How many ate well this afternoon? All right. How many barely ate this afternoon? How many wish they were eating now? All right, we'll try to get you out of here. We'll try to get you out of here tonight. I know it's been a long weekend. Many of you were here all day yesterday serving and helping out, and then here this morning, of course, faithful, and then here tonight. And I want to try to get you out a decent hour tonight, and so we'll do our best to do so. I will make no promises, but I will do my best to do so. Amen. Genesis chapter 32. Let's read our text this evening one more time. It says, "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saideth unto me, return unto thy kindred, to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." He makes a statement here. Jacob does. He says, "I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies." I'm not worthy. I deserve is the cry of today's people, is it not? I deserve. It's fitting for me to have this. It's the age of entitlements. We live in a time where you look at our government, and I'm not going to preach on politics tonight, but you look at our government, and really, if our government doesn't roll back in the handouts, we're not going to be able to survive. You can't continue to give out free money and keep printing it out off the presses and get it from nowhere and have no backing for it. You wait, our money's going to fail one of these days. It's just a matter of time. But we live in an age of entitlements. You take away the welfare, you take away all the free stuff that our government gives, guess what? There's going to be riots in our streets. Why? Because we live in a day where everybody thinks, I deserve it, it ought to be mine, it's rightfully mine. Socialism and welfare has swayed people to think that they are owed something. You think about it, even us tonight as we sit here, they're dealing with this Obamacare reform, right? We're gonna give a new healthcare plan to replace Obamacare. Really, it's the same thing. We just put a different name on it. But the problem with our healthcare system under this Obamacare is healthcare is a right now. Can I say that's a problem there? Some of you have begun to think that healthcare is a right. It's something that you deserve. No American should be refused health insurance. That's what we believe now, isn't it? It's a right. Nobody should have to pay extra because they have a pre-existing problem. Hold on. Healthcare is a result of free enterprise and capitalism. Once again, I'm not preaching on capitalism tonight. I'm just trying to make an illustration. Isn't that not the result of capitalism and free enterprise? Somebody said, hey, I could provide insurance for them if they pay into it, and so we can make a deal here. And it was a business. And now it's become a federal thing where the government says, you have the right to have health care, and everybody that wants it is going to have it, whether they like it or not. Can I say, if everybody just wants to get health care when they want and not have it when they want and never pay any extra, guess what? That'll collapse. Just because, think about this. If your auto insurance was formed the way health care is now, health insurance, auto insurance, both insurance, and you decided, I don't want insurance until I get a wreck. And then when I'm in a wreck, I'll call up and I'll get insurance and I'll expect them to pay out. And then eventually I'll just drop it again and we'll be okay. How is that insurance company ever going to survive? Let me help you out. It's not. You're not owed. The government doesn't owe you health insurance. Your employer doesn't owe you health insurance. Well, I'm working. Well, if you pick a job where they don't have health insurance, they don't owe you that. Now, if they promise to you, they owe it to you. But I'm trying to get across this idea. We live in a generation of entitlements. We think we're owed this and we're owed that. I deserve what I have. Healthcare, not a constitutional right. It's a result of capitalism. Nobody owes you or I health coverage. And the same thing with down the line, we've been programmed to believe I deserve what I have. We're worthy of everything and even then some because I worked hard, I paid my dues for it. Last night we were leaving the tournament or getting close to the end of the tournament and there was a mother and his son or her son leaving. And her son had lost. And they're leaving out. She says, it's okay, y'all are still winners. That's the mentality today, right? Everybody's a winner. We don't keep track of scores anymore because we don't want anybody to be a loser and a winner. Can I say there are winners and there are losers? Not everybody deserves a trophy. I know it might break your heart, but on Saturday, we don't give everybody a trophy. Because not everybody deserves a trophy. Those that worked hard and those that excelled and those that won deserve the trophy. It's a mentality, this indoctrination is that mentality that Ahab had. Back in the Bible, King Ahab, you remember him. He says, I want this. And he couldn't have it because somebody told him no. God forbid that somebody tell us no, right? And so he went home and he pouted and he sucked his thumb about it. And his wife, old Jezebel, says, well, my husband's going to get what he wants. And so she goes out and kills the guy so he can have what he wants. And that's what we're turning into, a society just like that. I'm going to pout till I get my way. If I don't, I'll go out and kill somebody so I can have my way. Look at what's going on. Look at the rioting and the junk that's going on today. And you see it. It's the I deserve mentality. The truth is, wait for it. We all deserve hell and nothing more. And that's the honest truth right there. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. I don't know about you tonight, but I'll admit I'm a sinner. So the only thing that I deserve is hellfire. I don't deserve anything else in this life. Nobody owes me a health care system. Nobody owes me free handouts. Nobody owes me food stamps or anything else, regardless of what I make. Nobody owes it to me. I don't deserve anything but hell. I'm a sinner, and so are you. All that we have, all that we are, it's by the mercy of God. Think about that. It's by the mercy of God. Look at your life tonight. Think about all that God has done in your life through you, and it's by the mercy of God. Look at God's goodness in our lives tonight. Let me say this tonight. We're blessed beyond all measure. I'm blessed far, far beyond what I could count, what I can measure, what I can compare to. Jacob looked at his life, and he made this statement, and we find it in our text tonight, and this is where I want to take the message from. He says, I am not worthy. Hey, if we could get that phrase down right there in our minds and understand this concept, God, I am not worthy of what you've done in my life. He says, I am not worthy of the least of all mercies. He says, the very least of things that I've been blessed with, I am not worthy of that. He says, and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. It ought to make us stop and just think for a second, God, you've been good to me. Christian, every now and then in our life, we've got to stop. I say every now and then, every day, we ought to stop and think and just tell God, God, you've been good to me. Yesterday, we had our 3-on-3 tournament, and a great, great turnout, and we praise God. 25 teams were here, had 16 souls, like I mentioned this morning, that were headed on their way to hell, that made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. One of those was a 49-year-old woman that said, I got that settled in my life. I trusted Christ as my Savior. Praise God for that. And sometimes we don't always see the long-term fruit from something. Like I mentioned this morning, only heaven will tell the long-term fruit of what we do and what God uses us for. We've been having these tournaments now for 7 years. This was our seventh one last year. First year I got here, 2011, we started these tournaments. And every year, we've seen people saved. In fact, we see them a lot of times in big numbers. Sometimes it's discouraging not to see them in the pew on that Sunday morning. And sometimes you question, what happens to these boys? The ones that raise their hand that they got saved. Or maybe the ones that didn't raise their hand that didn't get saved. What happens? Does it really make an impact on their life? Brother Matt Jacobson from down in Linton, Indiana, yesterday was up preaching, youth pastor down there. And he preached for us yesterday, preached a great message, and had 16 souls get saved. After the service, though, after the challenge hour, we were talking up here, him and I, and one of the young men came forward. He had come last year. He said, "Pastor, you probably don't remember me, but I was here last year in the tournament. And I don't know if Brother Matt was preaching or who it was. It wasn't Brother Matt, it was Brother Reiser. But he said, I don't remember who it was preaching, but he preached on the same lines about salvation and about God in our life and the necessity to have the Lord in our life. And he says, I was at a time in my life last year where I was trying to decide what role God was going to have in my life. If I was going to believe in this whole God thing, if I was going to have Him be Lord of my life, or if I was just going to go on and live my life for myself. Public school boy. He says, I didn't get saved that day, but I want you to know that summer I did get saved. God began to work on my heart. You say, well, what about the ones that didn't get saved? You don't know what's going to happen. Now, that's not the end of the story. He says, that summer I got saved. He says, and I started going to church, a Baptist church here in town. Now, it's not our Baptist church, but it's a Baptist church nonetheless. He's getting some decent doctrine. And something was lit inside that guy's heart. He says, Pastor, I wanted you to know that I started a public school Bible study every week. He says, we have up to 40 kids in that Bible study every week. To think, young person, that helped with cleaning and helped inviting flyers on a Wednesday, adult that passed out a flyer or prayed or gave, that we had some little peace. And this young boy that was at a crossroad deciding, am I going to take this route? Am I going to take the broad way? Or am I going to take Christ in my life? And he heard a message preached, and the Holy Spirit was able to start working on his heart, and that seed was watered, and that seed eventually came forth. He got saved, and now he's out trying to reach his friends at the public school and making an impact. And he's a young kid. I have no idea what he's going to do with his life. Maybe God will use him in full-time Christian service down the road. I don't know. But to think that we had a small piece in that Bible Baptist church, there's something added to your account up in heaven. Can I say God is so good to use us for something like that? Hey, God is so good that He would take Bible Baptist church and decide, and that's just one testimony. For every testimony that you hear, there's a slew of them out there where there's a boy that heard, and maybe he didn't get saved that day, or maybe he did and he went off, and maybe he got involved in church somewhere, and God began to transform his life. And Christian, you never heard about it, but praise God, God was able to use you. Bus worker, maybe that kid came once on your bus route and you never see that kid again. But to think about the results that happened from that one time that he ran and you knocked on that door and you invited him to come. That Sunday school teacher, whatever aspect, nursery worker, every amount. Thank God, God has been so good to use us. Sometimes we go on, ho-hum, no big deal. God used us as a part of His great work. 16 saved. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. May we not miss it. Oh, He's blessed us. I want to preach on a simple thought tonight. Blessed beyond measure. Blessed beyond measure. Oh, we're blessed. We're blessed beyond what we can count. We ought to take time and just consider the blessings of God in our life. Let's bow forward to prayer. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the encouragement Your Word is. Jacob spoke these words, I'm not worthy. And we can all speak the same thing if we'll be honest tonight. I believe we have to get honest, and we got to look at ourselves, we got to look at God, and we got to understand the fact that we're not worthy. We are so blessed. What a perspective it changes in our life. Lord, may You be a help to us tonight. Speak to our hearts. Give me wisdom in the words to say, Lord, I need You. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. In our text here, Jacob is leaving Laban and preparing to meet his brother Esau back at the house there where his dad was. And Jacob is in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of nowhere as he travels back home. We often get caught up in the busyness of life, and we forget how good God has been to us. We often get caught up in the busyness of serving, the busyness of different aspects of our life, and we forget how good God truly has been. It behooves a Christian to get in the middle of nowhere, get away from everything, get around some quietness, and meditate and ponder how good God has been to us. Jacob gets away from all the busyness. He's out there in the wilderness preparing to meet Esau, and he begins to think how good God has been. And over as he looks over how good God had been to him, he makes this statement, "I am not worthy. God, I'm not worthy of how you've blessed me. I don't deserve all this." It's very contrary to the rest of the world's society. It's very contrary to the philosophy, "I deserve. I am owed. I need this. I deserve this." It's very contrary to that for the Christian to have this attitude, "I'm not worthy, God. I don't deserve it. Oh, God, I'm blessed." There ought to be times in our life where we get overwhelmed by the goodness of God and say, "God, I'm not worthy." I believe Jacob here in the wilderness, I believe this was an emotional time for Jacob. I don't believe always you have to have emotion in order for it to be real, but I believe sometimes emotion comes because it's real. I believe there was probably some emotion in Jacob as he's talking to God, and he becomes overwhelmed at this fact that, "God, you've been so good to me. I'm not worthy of how good you've been. Look at my family. Look at what you blessed me with. Look at how you provided for me and taken care of me. God, you've been so good in my life." Every now and then, I believe the Christian ought to just get overwhelmed by the goodness of God in our life, to where it grabs a hold of us and it shakes us, and maybe a tear comes to our eye or a number of tears, and we say, "God, I'm not worthy of how good you've been in my life." We begin to look at our family and how God has blessed there, or how God has blessed in our career, or God has blessed us spiritually or in our church, and just get overwhelmed and say, "God, I'm not worthy of all this." I was driving home yesterday from the 3-on-3 just thinking about that story, thinking about the 16 souls that were saved, that lady that got saved, the work that was done in hearts. I got overwhelmed and just said, "God, I'm not worthy that you would use us here at Bible Baptist. Who are we that you would use us?" Oh, what a privilege, what a blessing. Every now and then, in the mornings, I'll be spending my time with God, my walk with God, and praying. And you ought to go through a time of thanksgiving to God in your prayer time. And you get to thanking God for different things in your life, and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and put things on your heart to thank Him for. And you begin going through the list, and then the Holy Spirit just brings things to your mind about all the good blessings that He's blessed you with. And I get to thinking about all that God has blessed me with. I just get overwhelmed. God, why me? You know, you look around at folks and you see folks struggling and this and that. God, why would you bless me in such a way? We're so blessed. Jacob had this attitude, "God, I'm not worthy. I'm blessed beyond measure." Now, there was a few things in Jacob's life I just want to share with you tonight. I trust it will be a blessing and a help. That brought him to this conclusion where he says, "I'm not worthy. I'm blessed beyond all measure." A few thoughts that brought Jacob to see how blessed he was. I want you to notice, first of all, that Jacob saw his sin and his shame. We're talking about Jacob tonight. If you remember who Jacob was, this is neat now. Jacob was deceiver, right? He tricked his old brother. That's why Esau was out for his head. He tricked him. He's deceived him. He sold him that pottage for his birthright, and then he stole his blessing from him. He deceived his own father. Man, Jacob was a trickster. He was not one of those kids that, you know, had the halo around their heads that everybody is jealous of because they're the teacher's pet. No, he was the one that was slipping behind the back and lying and deceitful. That's the Jacob that we're talking about right here. We're talking about a sinner here, a man that had brought some shame to his life. Jacob saw the vileness and the filth in his own life. Let me say tonight, the entitlement mentality is a result of people not understanding or viewing ourselves better than we truly are. We begin to think that we're somebody. We begin to think that I've done pretty well with my life. We think we deserve something because of who we are. Well, I'm an American, so I deserve this. I'm a Christian, so I deserve this. Hey, I'm pretty good. I do a lot of good things in my life, so I'm deserving of how God has treated me in my life. Let me bring us back to reality. I'm a sinner. And the only thing a sinner deserves is hellfire. We need a reality check every now and then. Jacob pictures a Christian pretty well. Hey, Jacob pictures Kevin Swarga pretty well. Jacob looks and he says, I'm vile. He sees the shame and the sin in his life. Every now and then, we need to pause and stop and realize there's some sin and some shame in my life. I'm not worthy of God's goodness in my life. The only thing, Christian, the only thing that makes us righteous in God's eyes, it's not our own righteousness. It's not because you were in church this morning and you threw your tithe in the offering plate that God looks down and says, hey, that guy's righteous. That wasn't it. We're still far from. The only reason God looks down and he sees righteousness when he looks at you and I is because we're clothed in the righteousness of God. Hey, we're clothed in his righteousness, his robe of righteousness. And thank God for that. Our righteousness is still as filthy rags. If he was looking down at just me, man, he'd see a bunch of old clothes and rags and filth. But I have his righteousness on. Jacob saw. He saw himself. He looked through all the facade, all the nice clothes, all the fronts that he tried to put on, and he looked down at his heart and he saw, hey, I'm a wicked sinner. I don't deserve what I'm not worthy. You know what helps us to realize that we're not worthy and we're so blessed? When I truly view the sin and the shame of my own life. I know what's popular today is for a preacher to get up and encourage us on how good of people that we are, but the truth is we're not. Jeremiah said it. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And a lot of times I get to thinking that I deserve because I don't realize how undeserving I am. Head to that prayer closet and spend some time just starting to confess. God, I did this, I did that. John R. Rice tells a story, it's told of John R. Rice by preachers that stayed with him while he was out preaching. That every night, John R. Rice, great preacher of the past, at night, he would kneel down and he would begin to write on a piece of paper. And he would write on that piece of paper, he'd crumple it up, throw it in the toilet, and flush the toilet. And then he'd write out another piece of paper, crumple it up, throw it in the toilet, flush it down the toilet. A pastor asked him one time, he said, preacher, what are you doing? He says, I'm confessing my sins to God. He'd sit there, write them out on that piece of paper and crumple it up and throw it in the toilet and flush it down as he would confess it to God. He had a time of confession to God. You know what that allowed him to do? That allowed him to realize, God, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of your goodness. It allowed him to really see God's blessing in his life by seeing the filth that's really there, the sinfulness, the grossness. If we confess our sin to God every day, we'll begin to realize how sinful and gross we are in the sight of God. Hey, all of a sudden, Christian, I begin. I don't mean to be woe is me. We're getting to an exciting part. But let's be real tonight. When I start to confess, I begin to realize how full my life is of lust and covetousness. I start to say, oh God, woe is me. I begin to realize how much worldliness I have in my life. I begin to realize how much selfishness is in this old heart of mine. When I really stop to think and start to ponder and allow the Holy Spirit to work in my heart and have a confession time with God, He starts to show things in my life that are unclean. You ought to have that time in prayer where I have that confession time. Every prayer life, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, have it. That second thing in there, confession. After you get done praising God, confess. We often don't take time for confession time with God, so we don't think ourselves really all that sinful. Christian, let me help us out. If it's been a while since we confessed anything to God, I know what's going on in our mind right now. I'm not really that bad. I'm not really that horrible of a person. I'm doing pretty well. But it's when I take that time with God and the Holy Spirit is able to work on my heart and show me some things that He says, hey, there is that. There is this. The Bible says if we say that we have no sin, we make Him a liar and the truth is not in us. Hey, let me help us all tonight. We're all sinners and we all have sin in our lives. There's something there. There's something that God wants to improve upon. He wants to get out of our life. He wants to sanctify in our life. And we miss out on seeing how blessed we are because we don't see how corrupt we are. There's a truth to that. When we don't see ourselves that sinful, we think ourselves maybe worthy of God's mercies. To think that we did or that we said or that we thought whatever we did this past week. But then God was still willing to use me. God was still willing to walk with me this past week. God was still willing to answer some prayer in my life. When we think about how vile we are, but yet God was still willing to have fellowship with us. Oh, what a good God that I have. You see, confession is important because I begin to realize I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm blessed in my life. Hey, Christian, we start to get that complaining spirit. We start to get that bitter attitude. We start to turn away from God when we miss seeing how blessed we are. And that happens when we don't have that confession time. I believe Jacob right here, he saw himself, the sin, the shame in his life. He says, I'm not worthy of the least of the mercies that God has showed to his servant. I want you to see secondly what he saw. He saw God's greatness. He saw his sin and his shame, but then he saw God's greatness. His greatness. Jacob saw God for who he was. In verse number 9, Jacob refers to his creator in two different titles. If you look at verse number 9 there, Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saideth unto me, return unto thy country, to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. Notice two titles that I want to bring out here. He refers to his creator as God and as Lord. Now, sometimes we just read over those and we don't pay an ounce of attention to it. But we have an every word Bible, all right? That word God, it has some meaning behind it. Elohim. When he says God, he's referring to God. Like God, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That word God, that word Elohim there, it means great, it means powerful. The powerful God that was able to speak the earth into existence. That's how powerful he is. And that's who he's referring to God here. He's seeing God as a great and powerful one. The God that spoke creation into existence. The God that said and it was done. The God that made all things perfect. That God. Can I say tonight, God is the great and powerful one. I'll begin to understand how blessed I am when I see God as the great and powerful one. Hey, when He is the ultimate creator, the great and powerful one, I'll look at Him and say, God, I'm not worthy to have that fellowship. Man, You're the great and powerful one. I'm not worthy of it. God is great. God is good because of who God is, not because of what He's done for us. Now, thank God for what He's done for us, but can I say, if God never did anything for us, He'd still be a great and a good God. That's His character. That's His nature. You say, but God didn't do this for me. God didn't do that for me. God's still good. He doesn't have to do anything for us in order to be a good God, in order to be a great God. We've all heard the phrase, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And He is. All the time God is good. There's not a single moment in our life, there's not a single moment in eternity from the beginning till the end that God has not been good. We got to understand, we got to see who God is. When I see God's goodness and His greatness, I understand I'm blessed in my life. And Jacob recognized God is great and God is powerful. And then he refers to Him as the Lord here. Why did he change titles? Well, the Lord's Jehovah, the Deliverer, the Savior. Hey, not only is God great and not only is God powerful, but God is also the Deliverer. Hey, He delivered Jacob out of his trouble. God is not only great and powerful and good, but He's a deliverer in our life. He's our Savior. Turn over to Psalm chapter 103, if you would. Psalm chapter 103. Like I said, God is good because of who He is, not because of what He's done, but it doesn't stop there. God has done some things for us. And that's where he gets into this title, the Lord, the Savior, the Deliverer in my life. He's done some great things for me. Man, I am blessed when I look at what the Lord has done for me. I'm blessed. Psalm 103, verse number 2. Are you there this evening? Amen. Are you awake? Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Oh, that's a good God. Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Thank God for His redemption. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Hey, look at what the psalmist is saying here. He's forgiven me. He's my Savior. He's delivered me in my life. When I see God's greatness and remember God's deliverance, man, I see I'm unworthy, God. I'm unworthy. What makes you and I so worthy to be a child of God? There's nothing in my life that makes me worthy of that. If God is just the man upstairs to you, you don't understand how blessed you are. If that's all He is a character up in heaven, you're not catching it. You got to see God for who He is tonight. You got to see him for who he is. He is a great and powerful one. He is the deliverer, the savior in our life. There's a hymn by the name of How Great Thou Art. We all have heard it. We've sung it. What a great hymn that is. It's written by a Baptist Swede in Sweden in the 1800s. And he was coming home from church. This was during the days when the Baptist church was under persecution from the Catholic church and the other churches of that day. And so it was an underground church. They were walking home, him and some of his friends, from church that afternoon. A storm came about, and he says that the sky was filled with darkness almost instantly. Lightning shooting across the sky, the thunder rolled. All of a sudden, rain started to pour down. They get back to the house there, and he goes up to his room, and he sits at his desk there, and he looks out the window, and the storm had gone, and he says the bay there that he overlooked was calm as can be. And he heard church bells in the distance. And it spoke to him how great his God was. He took some time to allow himself to realize, man, I got a good God. How great thou art. Hey, Christian, every now and then, we got to just time out on life. Hey, time out on the busyness. Time out on the rushing around. And just take some time. Look at nature. Look at God's creation. Look at your own life and realize how good of a God that I have. He is not only great and powerful because He is, but He is good to us in the fact that He redeemed us. He forgave us. He has done so much for us. I'm not worthy of the least of all His mercies. And then I want you to notice what he saw. He saw, number three here, God's promises. God remembered the promise that God made to Jacob. And he talks about that at the end of verse 9. It was a promise that God made to Jacob there in chapter 31. Look at verse number 13 in chapter 31. He says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. He says, now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And then you turn over to that chapter that we were just in, 32 verse 9, and he talks about the promise that God made, that I will deal well with thee. Jacob remembered, catch this, the promise that God made with him. Jacob, I'm going to deal well with thee. Now Jacob is heading back. He's heading back home. He's getting ready to meet Esau. And Esau is in conflict with Jacob. Jacob's fearful of the conflict that will occur between him and his brother. But Jacob remembered, catch this, he remembered the promise that God had made to him. Jacob says, I'm not worthy of God's promises. I'm not worthy, God. Can we pause tonight and think about the promises that God made to us in His Word? Someone said that there's over 3,500 promises written in this book right here. 3,500 promises that God has made to you and I. I'm not worthy of a single one of those. All the promises of God. We look at the promises of God and it causes us to say, I'm not worthy. Hey, the promise of forgiveness. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The promise of forgiveness, carry the sin as far as the east is from the west. The promise of forgiveness in our life. The promise of fellowship. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The promise to walk with us. The promise of friendship. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The promise of prayer, that we can go to Him in our time of need and request mercy and grace. The promise of His presence, the promise of His peace, the promise, like we talked about, of His coming. When we look at the promises of God to us, it causes us to say, I'm not worthy. Hey, how many promises has God made to you and I? So many. We begin to see, when we see ourselves for who we are, sinful and shameful, and we see God for who He is, and then we look at all the promises of God, you know what happens? I begin to realize I'm blessed beyond measure. Hey, I'm not worthy of all this, God. I look at myself. I look at you and your greatness. I look at these promises that you laid out for me. I'm not worthy. You know what happens, Christian, is we get sideways with God because we forget how good He is. I forget how blessed I am, so I get sideways. What do you mean, Pastor? All of a sudden, I have a bad spirit. I get a complaining spirit about the church. I get a complaining spirit about the preaching. I get a complaining spirit towards God. Maybe I get some bitterness in my life. We get tired out. We get to begin to grumble and complain. God, I don't want to serve you. We get to the point where we quit or give up. Whatever it be, we get sideways on God when we stop realizing how blessed we are. Because we forget that everything that's in my life, I'm not worthy of it. When I look at everything and I realize I'm not worthy of this and of that and of this and of that, God, I'm not worthy to be used at a 3-on-3 tournament. God, I'm not worthy to stand up and teach a Sunday school class. God, I'm not worthy to serve you in a nursery. I'm not worthy of any of that. Sometimes we think we're doing God a favor. I'm serving God, I'm doing God a favor. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. And I begin to think, well, I'm doing God this, I'm doing that, I deserve. No, I'm blessed. I'm unworthy of any of that. God told Israel in Deuteronomy, He says, don't forget what I've done for you. He says, I want you to stack up rocks, I want you to make pillars, I want you to make memorials, I want you to do everything that you can so you don't forget God's blessing on your life. And Christian, let me say tonight, we ought to do everything that we can, everything within our power, to make sure not to forget the blessings in our life that God has bestowed to us. Think about it this evening. Let me throw a few at you. God blessed you with another day to live today.
Yes, sir.
Was that really a blessing? Absolutely it is. Sometimes the little things we forget by the wayside. The fact that I woke up and I breathed the breath of air today. Hey, thank God you didn't wake up dead this morning. Amen? The fact that God created me is blessing enough. He didn't have to. He didn't have to put me on this earth. God created me. Hey, it might be a blessing for me. Maybe not for you, but it's a blessing for me. Amen? Every day that I breathe, it's a blessing from God. We think we deserve this or that in our life. We deserve from our family. We deserve from our employer. We don't even deserve to breathe. We don't. That's a gift from God. Hey, if you woke up alive this morning, you're blessed. Think about this, the fact that God thinks about me. The psalmist says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. He was saying, man, I'm blessed the fact that God thinks about me. Now, Christian, think about that tonight. You're on God's mind even at this moment. God cares so much about you that He thinks, He says, precious are the thoughts. God's thinking precious thoughts about it. Why? In 7 billion people that walk on this earth, why would God even care about me? We forget the blessing. God cares about me. We're not worthy that God would think about us. I'm blessed. He watches over me. He takes care of me. We'd all be dead the way that we drive if God wasn't watching over us. Amen? We're blessed. We're blessed. Hey, think about this tonight. God saved me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. But by His own blood. Hey, not by somebody else's blood. We're good at offering other people stuff. By His own blood, it says He entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. God gave us eternal redemption, eternal life by His own blood. He sacrificed for me. I'm blessed tonight. God shed the blood of His own Son so that I can have eternal life. Hey, I didn't deserve that. We get to thinking, I deserve His grace. I deserve heaven. No, we don't. We don't deserve Christ's blood. Hey, think about this. God allowed you to hear the gospel. Hey, teenager, God allowed you to grow up in a home that teaches the Word of God. Think about how privileged you are. Well, I got all these rules. Hey, think about it. Think about it tonight. God didn't drop you down in the middle of Arab Middle East over there. Not only to hear some false doctrine about Allah and Muhammad, but just even the living over there. Think about that. And you and I as adults, same thing. Hey, God could have put us anywhere. God put you in a place called America. Hey, the greatest country on this earth at this time, I believe. God's blessed it. Man, He's blessed it. God chose to put you in America. God chose to allow you to hear the gospel. That's grace. None of us deserve to even hear the gospel. Say, I deserve to hear. No, you don't. I didn't deserve it. God put me in a home where I heard the gospel growing up time after time again. Oh, what a privilege to have the heritage that I have. Some of y'all that grew up in church, what a privilege it is to have the heritage that you have. Don't take that for granted. Be your family, you grow up in church. Dad was lost growing up. And then he got saved and he decided he was going to raise his family in church. Don't take that for granted. You kids, don't take that for granted. You get a parent that was saved out of the world, saved out of that trash. Or they stayed on course. Maybe they were saved as a kid and decided, we're going to stay on course. They didn't get involved with the world. Hey, you be thankful for that. How many homes in America tonight never heard the gospel once? They never darkened. You knock on doors all the time, bus workers, where the kids have never been to church one time or heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never heard it. There's folks in this room tonight, when you got saved, you came to Bible Baptist Church, you heard the gospel, that was the first time somebody took a Bible and shared with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to hear the gospel, to be able to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm blessed. I could still be lost on my way to hell this evening. I could be over in some other country on my way to hell. I could be involved in some cult somewhere following after some false gospel. But God allowed me and the 7 billion people on earth, God made sure that I heard the gospel. Hey, that's grace right there. That's grace right there. I'm undeserving. I'm not worthy. God gave me His Word. Hey, think about it tonight, Christian. I hope I'm not boring you tonight. Think about it. God gave you His Word. Hey, the inerrant, the perfect, the inspired, perfect Word of God preserved for you and I today. Think about it this evening, Christian. Hey, He didn't just give it back in the days of Jesus Christ and when the apostles were around in the early church. He made sure to preserve it. It's still inspired today. It's still perfect. It's still without error. God wanted to give us something that we could depend on. Hey, if we can't depend on God's Word for being perfect, what can we depend on? Say, how could God preserve it this long and it still be inspired after language changes and everything else? You tell me how God spoke it all to existence, the world. When you tell me how He spoke this world into existence and it was perfect when He spoke it into existence, I'll explain how He preserved it all this time. He's God, that's how. If He could speak the world into existence, surely He can inspire His Word. And if He can inspire it, surely He can preserve it. He's an all-powerful God. Thank God that He cared enough about our generation in 2017 where He would say, I'm going to make sure to give them a book that they can depend on, that they can trust on, that they can look to for all the answers that will give them help. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. I'm not worthy, God, that You would care enough to give me Your Word. Hey, think about this, the fact that God allows me to serve Him. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says this. Paul went through a lot of persecution. Hey, Paul did God a lot of favors, right? That wasn't Paul's attitude. Think about this. He says, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He says, Paul says this, hey, it's a privilege. I am blessed to be able to serve God in the ministry. Whether it be shipwreck or stoning or jail that I come through, I'm blessed to be able to be a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm blessed to be able to see 16 souls saved. I'm blessed to be able to see people saved on Sunday and then baptized in obedience to Jesus Christ. I'm blessed to be able to work with people. Hey, the ministry is the best thing in the whole wide world. Whether you're full-time ministry or you're a full-time Christian serving God in the ministry, you're blessed. Hey, young people, serving God is wonderful. There's no greater work than serving God in your life. There's no greater thing. Can I say the ministry is wonderful? Serving God is wonderful. I know there's some Christians out there that will try to make you to believe that serving God is horrible because their face looks like it. Serving God is wonderful. I wouldn't rather do anything else. And if God wants you to be a plumber, you go be a plumber and serve God. And if you're serving God, you'll have a joy being a plumber, amen? You serve God, though. You serve God. There's no greater thing than serving God. It's a privilege. It's a blessing. There was a news article recently from a Christian writer. And she was writing on the subject of why young people forsake the church when they get to a certain age. And she had spoken with some young people. They gave the reasons why they're not serving God today in church, why they're not sticking around. Let me sum it all up. They had 5 or 6 reasons. Let me sum it up. Selfishness. The day in which we live in this millennial age, full of selfishness. It's all about me. It's all about my life is being happy. It's all about I need to make sure that my hours are good, that this turns out better for me. It benefits me. The pay is good. I need good benefits. I need the proper time with my family. I need this, this, and that. They want it perfect for them. Selfish. Can I say forget the selfishness and serve God? Serve God just like God. That's the greatest thing I could do with my life is serve my Savior. Oh, what a blessing it is. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be counted faithful to serve Him. God provides their every need. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. There's not a single need that God doesn't provide. God does above what I ask or think. The Bible says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God always does above and beyond whatever I can think, whatever I can imagine. We get our dreams and we get our hopes and is God going to He always fulfills much greater than I can ever think or hope. Oh, we have a good God. Do you see that tonight? Do you see that we have a good God? We're blessed beyond measure. One cannot count One cannot number. One cannot compare the blessings that God has given to us in our life. Well, I'm getting tired. I want to quit. Can I say, all this stuff in our life, we're not worthy. God's blessed you. Why throw it all to the side? Why do that? God's blessed. Conflict gets difficult. Esau's going into conflict. It was getting difficult. But I'm blessed beyond measure. I'm not worthy of any of this already. Hey, I'm not worthy of the least of God's mercies. We're blessed far beyond our difficulties tonight. Hey, why complain? Why get upset? Why quit? I'm blessed far beyond any of that. The worst day in the Christian's life is better than the best day in any lost man's life. Your worst day on earth is better than man's best day in hell. Think about that rich man's burning a day. Say, I'm having a bad day. Yeah, you're having a bad day, but you're going to heaven one day. Still a pretty good day. You see how blessed we are to be a part of God's work, to be God's people. There's a story told of an old Navajo Indian who became rich when oil was found on his property. He took all his money, he brought it to the bank. His banker became familiar with the habits of this old gentleman. Every so often, the Indian would show up at the bank and say to the banker, grass all gone, sheep all sick, water holes all dry. Without a word, the banker would take the old Indian into the vault. He would show him several bags of silver dollars and say, all this is yours. The old man would spend about an hour stacking up the dollars and counting them. And then he'd return the bags to their places and come out of the vault and say, grass all green, sheep all well, water holes all full. It's amazing how our attitude changes. It's amazing how there's a change in our life when we look at our resources and the blessings that we have in our life. Life is terrible. Woe is me. Everything's so hard. But then we begin to look at God's blessing and we come out saying, grass all green, holes all filled, everything's all good, because I don't deserve the least of what I have. There's a songwriter that wrote the song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness. You familiar with that song? Thomas Chisholm was born in a log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky in 1866. He received his education in a little country schoolhouse at the age of 16. He began teaching there after he finished. He was saved at the age of 27 and with no college or seminary training was ordained to the Methodist ministry at age 36. He served as a Methodist minister for a year, but ill health made it impossible for him to continue. He moved to Vineland, New Jersey, where he opened an insurance office. Always interested in poetry, Chisholm wrote hundreds of poems during his lifetime. Lamentations 3, chapter 3, verse 22, inspired him to write the text for Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Those verses read, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Chisholm experienced that faithfulness. He suffered ill health most of his adult life and never made much money, but he said, God has given me many wonderful displays of His providing care, which have filled me with astonishing gratefulness. He says, I've seen God's gratefulness in my life. Hey, Christian, God is so faithful to us. Can I simply remind us tonight, we're blessed beyond measure. Christian, can we look at our lives tonight and praise God a little bit? Because God has blessed us. If you do, take your psalm book tonight, turn to number 177. Brother Morris, if you come, lead us in a song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness. I want to sing a hymn of that. God has been so great, or so good to us. Great is His faithfulness. Hymn number 177. Hymn number 177. Let's stand to our feet. We'll sing that. Brother Morris, if you'd lead us in the first verse of that and the last verse of that, and then I'll come back after that and we'll finish out the service. Great is Thy faithfulness. Think about the words. Think about the words tonight as we sing that song. How many stanzas are there? Let's sing all three stanzas of that song there.
Not thy God.
is faithful. If we can have heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll have invitation time. Let me ask you tonight, you said, Pastor.